The hatted kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public, if you will.
It is 10 p.m. You know what time it is because I just said what time it is. That's a stupid fucking line. Who says that? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. My name is Chef Plum. And let's see. Well, how can we recap? I am a father. I am a podcast/radio show host. I am a TV personality. And more importantly, I am a professional chef, which that means I have carte blanche to do a radio show about the culinary business. And I have a microphone. And if you have a microphone, you're pretty much going to be an expert, at least in my humble opinion. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show tonight. We got a great one. Tonight, our guest is the fantastic, beautiful, I just love her to death. She's been so great to me over the past years or so, couple years or so. Stephanie Abrams, in my opinion, the face of the Weather Channel. Now, you're like, the Weather Channel? What's that got to do with food? Now, let me tell you something right now. She is an amazing food person, food personality. The way she looks at food, the way she lives her life, it's all very, very inspiring, especially for young culinary. God damn, music loud. Especially for young culinarians like us in this business. I guess I shouldn't loop myself into the young culinarian or whatever. You get what I'm saying. So, you know, that's the way it goes. She's fantastic. She's on the show tonight, and the interview is awesome. It's funny because we opened that whole interview up with me, of course, screwing up because we did it one time before. And obviously, she has to obviously do her stuff. She has to do her stuff. She's texting me right now. Stop texting me while I'm trying to do a radio show. She has to do her stuff during the day because she has to get up the butt crack at dawn in the morning. I'm pretty sure she gets up before that loud rooster that makes the noise in the morning. She's up before them because she has to, it's just how her tower job works. And so we had to record the interview. But the funny part was we recorded the interview last week. And like a jackass, I forgot to record it. Yeah. It's not quite that simple, but that's pretty much what happened. So we're going to talk to Steph in a few minutes. I'm going to play that interview for you. It's awesome. She's really fun to listen to and fun to talk to. And, you know, I try to have these beautiful, smart women on this radio show to make myself look better. That's kind of the goal. I figured out how to do that. And if you have these people on your show, then in the end, it makes you look better as a host. So with that said, I want to talk a little bit this evening before we get started about catering and about dinner parties, you know, for people who may hire someone to come to their house to do a dinner party, to do a catering. I do quite a bit of this stuff. And so when it comes down to it, a couple of things from a chef's perspective I want you to know about. It's almost like I want to get it off my chest. I think I want to get it off my chest. So here's how it works. Ready? If I'm coming to your house to do a catering, rest assured I know what I'm doing. We've done this before. If you're hiring a caterer, we have been in this business. We know how things go. And trust me, your kitchen is not the worst thing we've ever seen. It's almost like the second you walk into these people's houses, they want to start apologizing for their house, for where they live. I don't understand it. I'm like, listen, I've done a pop-up dining series in Williams-Sonoma, and it sounds like a great place. Hey, Williams-Sonoma, that would be fantastic to do a dinner in. Yeah, it's not. It's tiny. The place you have to cook in is so small, and you can't touch anything. You see all this great equipment, but you can't touch it. So when you go off into someone's house, it's fully stocked, and it's a normally used kitchen, it's great. No matter what you have, I promise you, it's perfect for what we need. Number two, if you're going to have a caterer come into your house, please, as per the contract or the discussions, whatever plateware you want to use and things of that nature, have it set out, have it ready to go. You don't even have to have it. If it's me, you don't even have to have a wash. My girls will wash it. You don't have to deal with that. Just get it out. so we don't have to go fumbling through cabinets to find stuff. Because, listen, we're going to go through your cabinets anyway because we want to know where things are. I just don't want to do it while you're standing there looking at me. Like, I don't mind looking through stuff, but please just, you know, have what we talked about ready to go. Number three, this is a big one for me. Please have your trash cans in your big garbage cans outside or wherever they may be in your garage or in your trash house. I've been to houses that have a house just for their trash. True story. Have them accessible. Like, so many times we go to these dinner parties, and I want to make sure the kitchen's nice and clean when we leave, and we go to the garbage out, and there's no place to put the damn thing. You look around, and, oh, well, the garbage cans are way up on the top of the driveway, which is 9.5 miles long. Yeah, I'm not walking up there. I'm not bringing your garbage can down. Neither is anybody that works with me. That's not happening. So have that shit ready to go. Number four, probably one of the most important things. I recently did a party for a really, really nice family. They were doing a birthday party, and I'm humbled. Let me just rephrase that. I'm very humbled and lucky to have the opportunity to do the things that I do. The things that I'm talking about are more tips than bitching about it. So this, if you have a dog, especially a very large dog, I don't care how friendly he is. If you have a 200-pound dog, St. Bernard, and he is barking at everybody the whole time, and I come in with very pretty, tiny little girls to work a party with me, they're going to be afraid of said dog. Please help restrain the animal. In the end, he became very nice, but clearly he was scaring the death out of one of my servers. So it's just common courtesy. Like, I don't know. Just keep the dog someplace else. I mean, in the end, it became fine. It was great. It was a sweet dog. But a very, very large animal, that is for sure. Absolutely. And the next thing I want to talk about, if we are talking about a menu, and I'm very flexible, more flexible than most caterers I've ever worked with are ever, and we make some menu changes, don't hit me up when I walk into your house about changing your menu. We can't change it once we're there. Usually I tell everybody, listen, I can make changes up to the day before the event. However, the day of the event or while I'm sitting there at your house while we're setting things up, there's not going to be a whole lot of menu changes happening because guess what? I've already bought the shit for your party. I can't change it. I can't change it. That's me on my soapbox there, guys. I don't know. I love doing these private parties, but it's amazing how many times these little things just happen that make life so much more difficult when it comes to doing these parties. What drives me nuts is just when people want to change things as they come over, you know, when you get to their house. As far as holiday parties go, remember, folks, it's a holiday party. You have people working at your house during the holiday season. Let's make sure we take care of them appropriately. Tipping is appropriate for everyone working your party. Does everyone hear that? Take notes. Tipping is appropriate for everyone working the party. So make sure you take care of those folks. Those folks have families too with things going on. They're not just there to clean your floors and clean your house and serve you great food. Take care of them. It's important. It's the humane thing to do. It's what people do. You don't go to a restaurant and not tip the server. You fucking tip them. So keep that in mind, please. Please, if they do a shitty job, don't tip them. Tell them to get the hell out and be done. But, you know, generally if someone's coming to your house to do a dinner party, they're probably pretty talented in that field. I don't know. I guess that's all I got for that stuff, man. I just, you know what, listen, it's the holiday season. Thanksgiving is this weekend. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's my favorite holidays, one of my favorite times of the year. If you haven't tried brining your turkey, highly recommend it. Listen, here's my little thing. I brine my turkeys in Southern-style sweet tea. And let me tell you why I do that. It pulls moisture in and puts some flavoring in. So you're going to pull out moisture and push it back in. That's what happens in a brine. And I love brining turkeys and sweet tea. Give it a go. It's going to darken your turkey up a little bit. But let me tell you something. It's fantastic. No more than 12 hours. More than that, and you're going to just – it destroys the turkey. It's not going to taste good. It tastes milky, almost chalky. So no more than 12 hours. I usually go about 8 to 10. Give it a try. If you like it, shoot me a Twitter message and tell me what you think about it, because I'm telling you, it works. It's phenomenal. Give it a go. That's right. Give it a go. Also, folks, if you're locally here in the Tri-State area, I will be on Star 99 on Wednesday giving some holiday turkey tips with Anna and Raven on Wednesday morning, I believe. So make sure you check that out as well. So check it out. We are going to get into a couple of messages. That's right, messages. And we are going to come right back with my interview with the phenomenal Stephanie Abrams. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live, the number one food talk show right now on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back in just 1 minute, guys. Stay right there. Oh, that's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right, smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef Knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef Knives allows for smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's ErgoChef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF. And get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott are great dudes over there, so check them out at ErgoChef.com. And you... Oh, we're going to play some dance music and do a live read. A live read? A live read. What's that mean? It's not a recorded commercial. It's me talking about something. Hey, guys, it's the holiday season coming up. Everyone knows it. We're all shopping. You got all that Black Friday stuff coming up, Cyber Monday stuff coming up. Who wants to get involved in all that? Listen. Amazon.com. That's right. We all know what Amazon.com is. Why they call it that? Maybe it's like the jungle of things to buy or something. I don't quite get it. But if you're going to go to Amazon.com, especially this Cyber Monday with all the great deals coming up, go to it through PlumLoveFoods.com. That's right. Go to PlumLoveFoods.com. Click the Amazon banner. It doesn't cost you anything extra. It doesn't make you buy something new. It doesn't put an extra charge on there. What it does, it just says, hey, you found out through the show, and you went through our website to get there, and you know what they do? They throw us a couple of shekels here to keep the show on the air for free every Monday night for everybody out there. So check it out. Holiday season, Amazon.com. Just make sure when you go through PlumLoveFoods.com. That's right, PlumLoveFoods.com. Click the Amazon banner link right there. It takes you right to the regular Amazon you know and love. You go in there, you buy whatever you need. No extra charges, no extra nothing, and they throw us a nickel or two to help offset the cost of this very program. Thanks, guys. Amazon.com via PlumLoveFoods.com. ProPlayerInsiders.com brings a unique behind-the-scenes look at the lives and lifestyles of the players of the National Football League with news, analysis, interviews, coverage of community events, and featured contributions from current and former NFL players and their families. Hey, and let's not forget chefs like myself are also on there. Be sure to bookmark ProPlayerInsiders.com and also find them on Facebook and on the Twitter at Player Insiders. Pro Player Insiders, the true voice of the player.
I remember when you said your father's asleep. I remember swimming as our clothes drifted off to sea. So wake up, dream, and lie here with me. Wake up, dream, and lie here.
That's right, guys. Coming back live right here on Plum Love Foods Live. That's my man Ryan Starr, Start a Fire, one of my favorite songs in the planet by one of my favorite artists and an even better person. Hey, before we get to this interview with Stephanie Abrams, big shout out to anybody new checking us out there. We really appreciate it. It's awesome. I mean, it's really, really fun to have new people come into your life or old people come back into your life. Not like old age people, but people from your past or from you know, people you were friends with a couple years ago coming back into your life and checking things out to see how things are going. And I think it's really, really super cool. And yeah, that's about all I got. So thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. If you got 2 minutes, make sure you go and you're listening to us on iTunes. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It does very, very well for something called an algorithm. I'm not sure what the fuck that is, but that's what it's good for. So, guys, what I want to get here with is my interview with the one and only Stephanie Abrams. She is the best, and this interview was awesome. We started it 1 week. I forgot to hit record like a jackass, and we ended up having to do it again. And she was very nice, and when I text her, and she said, yes, absolutely, not a problem at all. So the interview opens up, of course, with me making an ass out of myself, like I normally do if there's a pretty girl in the room. I always tend to talk too much. So here it is, guys.
So
my interview. Obviously, the first thing I have to do is let you make fun of me because you're the nicest person on the planet. I'm talking to Stephanie Abrams right now. We've done this once already, haven't we?
See, I think your ploy was you just want to talk to me again. So, you know, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, here's what I try to do. I try to talk to as many attractive people as possible because that makes me look better. That's the plan here. So I figured if I can goad you into doing it, and we're going to do it again next week as well.
Okay, great. Whatever. It's called being human. I mean, seriously, it's called being human. It's okay.
That's why you're one of the coolest people on the planet. We tried this last week, guys, and through my myriad of computer issues we've had, the recording didn't work. And so here I am having to send a text to Stephanie going, hi, I'm the jackass. But she was so nice.
No, it was a really good conversation. So I'm glad we get to have it again, actually, and, you know, see what else comes of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, you know, so thank you very much for doing this again with me. I really appreciate it. And more self-deprecating humor will probably follow. So here you are. You're in Atlanta. You're loving life. It's fantastic. And you're doing your thing every morning now, right?
Yeah, so I'm now working out of Atlanta with Jim Cantore and Jen Carfagno and Ana Rodas Rodriguez Monday through Friday, and then going home to New York on the weekends. And it's great. We have a really fun show. You know, the weather's been actually really busy lately, so there's a lot going on. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, but not only that, are you like the smartest person ever on the Weather Channel? I'm trying to put you. I'm putting you over here.
Definitely. Right, exactly. I'm like, listen. It's okay.
But
no, I'm not the smartest person. I'm very far from the smartest person on the Weather Channel. I just stay at a Holiday Inn Express every night before I go to work. That's why it looks like that. I just play a meteorologist on TV.
That's very funny. And they gave you $25 for saying that, which is the greatest
exactly.
thing ever. But you're also a giant food person. You love food. You love understanding food, the science of food. It's kind of one of the things that you love so much. And part of our last conversation that we had, we talked a lot about that. So just to kind of talk about it more and kind of get back into it, you're a vegetarian.
Yeah, I'm a vegetarian. I definitely lean towards vegan, but I'm not super strict. Like, yes, I've had some cheese and, you know, if there happens to be butter in it, I'm not that person who's like, I absolutely won't eat it, but I haven't had meat. I don't know how long it's been. It's only been about, I'm going to say like 6 months or so. I'm new to being a vegetarian, but the way I came about being a vegetarian is, you know, I meditate and, you know, I listen to monks online on YouTube and, you know, they believe that animals have souls and just like people have souls. And then believe it or not, I don't remember if you remember this. There was a little Spanish or Italian kid and, he was on YouTube and went viral and his mom had given him octopus and he started crying. He's like, Mommy, why did they cut up the octopus? He didn't do anything. And like went through his whole like tears. He was like 3 years old. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my, I just didn't want to hurt animals anymore, you know? And listen, if people want to eat meat, I have nothing against it. Like, you know, do you, that is my mantra. I always say that, like, whatever works for you, do you. So it's not like I'm on some pedestal or soapbox saying, you know, don't do this and don't do that. Just for me, like I see meat now and I legitimately feel sad.
Wow.
So for me, it just doesn't work.
Wow. That's an interesting way, especially because you watched a YouTube video and it seemed to change your life with it. But I mean, that's crazy. I love meat. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's great. Listen, I used to love a good filet, but now I literally see it. And, you know, sometimes all of a sudden something triggers you and you're like, aw, and then I feel bad for it. So it's really weird because, again, I'm not against people eating meat or anything like that. Just for me, I look at it and I get sad.
Right. Well, we'll just talk about that a little bit, not the sad part, but how changing over from being, you know, being a person who does eat meat and stuff to now 6 months out of it. Like, do you feel different? Do you feel like your body's changed?
Yeah, it's not just meat. I mean, you know, my big thing with food is so many people don't understand the gut to brain connection. I really want to get more involved in this and I don't know how to do it or where, how I should go about it because it changes my mood, what I eat. And for some reason, we've been conditioned that like just because it's on the shelves of our grocery store, it's okay to eat and it'll make us feel good. But I try to eat as plant-based, obviously, as possible, and then as organic as possible, you know, and as raw as possible, because I started doing research. You know, I went through stages of anxiety and depression for a long, long time. And now if I get off eating, you know, vegetables and fruit, like stuff that comes out of the ground or is natural to the planet, if I steer away from that, and if I still am eating like organic processed food, anything in a package, right then and there, I can feel it in my body and especially the next day and I'll get sad. And so, you know, I started looking into the body and how it works. And again, we've been conditioned. I don't know how that like chemicals are okay in our body and stuff that's not natural is okay in our body. And we wonder why we're sick and depressed and can't sleep and anxious and sluggish and everything. So you need vitamins, you need minerals, you need enzymes, you need all of these things that are really only found in natural products for your body to function.
You're so right about that stuff. I mean, even things simply as that people don't, I don't think they understand, like farm-raised fish. Like these fish are raised, but they're fed corn. Fish don't eat corn. Corn doesn't grow underwater. You know, you're so right. And it's become okay. It's normal. It's what we do. It's ridiculous.
Well, and the corn, by the way, they're feeding them is GMO corn.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, what, 80 to 90% of soy, corn, and cotton is all GMO. And a lot of people don't know what that is, and they get scared. But
mm-hmm.
I just want people, again, I'm not here on a soapbox, as you know, I'm here just to have a conversation. And I want people to kind of look this stuff up and see what works for them, because I was that person in pain who couldn't figure out how to fix it. And then I did by just eating actual food. So a GMO is a genetically modified organism. And this stuff is not regulated by the FDA.
Right.
So you have these big companies, and I won't name names, right? We don't need to get into that whole thing. But you have a handful of companies that essentially the FDA says, hey, is this product safe? And the company says, yeah, that's safe. It's good for the, you know. So the fact that, like, we're paying taxes with government who's supposed to be, like, protecting us and testing food that we eat, and they're not doing it, was shocking to me.
Yeah.
And now this whole thing with labeling, it's like, why wouldn't you, if you knew your product was awesome and safe and great, don't you want your name on literally everything? Literally everything. So that raises a red flag to me. It's very confusing to me. And, you know, everything's labeled with the ingredients. So why wouldn't we label if it's genetically modified or not?
Absolutely. And by the way, this segment's brought to you by McDonald's, everybody, just so we can, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Totally. We love McDonald's. They're fantastic. But you're right. So many other countries do label that stuff. And I think we're starting to see a trend with that, though. I know in Connecticut, they just passed a law where things are going to start to get labeled. We're going to start seeing a lot more of that, I think. But it's because of people like yourself who are so passionate about it. Me, I just, you know, we just demand it. People want to know more about it, especially as we move forward and people becoming more
right.
food smart, if that's a thing. But they just understand it, and they know that it's more than just putting a piece of chicken on a plate and that's dinner. Like, it's understanding where it came from. And not only that, if we don't take care of these small farmers that we have, we're going to lose them.
We have to understand that, like, a cell works. Right. Our skin is always regenerating. Our eyes are always regenerating. You know, LASIK, your eyes regenerate, you know, faster than, you know, other parts of your body. So that's why, you know, when you get LASIK, you get that quick turnaround. So you need vitamins and minerals to do that. And if you look at how a cell works, it doesn't understand chemicals.
Right.
And so if you put that into your body, then you wonder why all of these diseases are going through the roof and behavioral disorders are going through the roof. Is it just that? Listen, we could get into it, but you know, we can't say, okay, it's just the food source. But, you know, I certainly believe, and again, this is just me and from my own experiences, that if I put something in my body that my body does not know, what do you think is going to happen to those cells? Those cells are going to be like, wait, what's that? But again, we've been conditioned that this stuff is okay. There's what, 10,000 preservatives, I think, that the FDA doesn't test. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's some crazy
it's
number
absurd.
Like that.
It's absurd. It's some absurd number. It makes no sense as to why they don't. I mean, which is crazy because you look at some of our foods and you say that we're preservative. So what we're doing, we're preserving the food so it lasts longer. But we've been preserving food as people for forever. Like, but we didn't use any chemicals to do it. You know, you use vinegars, you use salt, you use things like that to preserve your food, to make it work, to make it last. But now, as opposed to doing that, let's just throw it in a jar with a bunch of whatever these giant words I can't even spell. I'm a chef and make dick jokes. So I can't spell these things. But
and when it comes to GMOs, so these seeds that they make, basically it's like a pesticide seed, and then they can spray pesticides on that plant, and the plant won't die. It's resistant to the pesticide, but all
right.
the other plants around it die. And it's like, hang on, I'm putting this in my body, and I'm wondering why I'm getting sick, or why there's so much, you know, irritable bowel, or why there's allergies. Like, do people understand that in your gut, that's where your immune system is built? That is where your serotonin, a lot of it, is built. And, you know, you go to a psychologist and psychiatrist, I've been plenty of times, plenty of years, so, you know, I can speak to this, that it's like they say, like, you know, oh, you're chemically imbalanced, you think it's in your
right.
brain. And it's like, I wish people would start treating, you know, their guts, because you literally can see clearer when you clean your gut out with all the crap that's in there, and when you're putting food in there that your body actually recognizes. But the hard part is, you know, and I've been through a million different ways to try to beat this, and I'm not perfect at it at all. But I know when I go off it, it's going to leave a mark.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't get your mind right about it, then you're never – if you don't get your perspective right, you're never going to win any of these quote-unquote diets. You're just not, because everything in life is perspective. And, you know, another big thing that I've learned in the last couple of years through an experience I went through is that you have a choice. You can choose your perspective.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're mad or you're sad or whatever, that's all on you, 100%. And when you really can understand that, your life just becomes so much better. But it's very hard for me to even keep perspective when I'm putting crap in my body.
You know, you're so right. And you know where I live, and things have happened here, and we've all had things in life. And what you're saying is just, you know, especially about perspective, is that when something happens to you, it either becomes who you are, or it can become just a part of what you've been through. And I think if you don't put the right stuff in your body, you're more likely to have it, you know, kind of become you. And you're seeing things now. I have three daughters, and I don't talk a lot about my kids publicly, but, you know, we feed them very, very naturally, very normally, because I think you're seeing, especially now, you're seeing kids who are just, I mean, they're hitting puberty when they're nine. Like, it's just, there's so much like hormones and things that are out there. It's crazy. The stuff that's put in our food, if we don't start paying attention to it, next thing you know, it's going to be like Soylent Green and we're eating people.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true. I don't know how it's kind of come around where, you know, we are allowing this to happen. You know, where have we gone awry? You know, and you can make as many excuses as you want. But, you know, oh, it's too expensive, or this. Well, first of all, we eat way too much. Our portions are way too big. So it's really not that expensive if you eat a proper portion, you know, size. And so, you know, I feel like we've just gone all out of whack. And if you watch any of these documentaries, it's all about lobbying. I mean, where'd the food pyramid come about? Go learn about how that's changed over the years. And like, you know, the whole thing. It's all lobbyists. Like, you know, there's a whole controversy of like, you know, milk. Like, should you have it? Should you not have it? It's just, for me, it's go educate yourself and find what works for you. And that's my big mantra, is that I feel like there's so many people out there struggling and they're listening to what we've been conditioned, right? It's like, I used to have a lot of bad anxiety and depression and be on medication and the whole nine yards. And it's like, I'm not in any of that now, none of it. And, you know, one of the main reasons is what I'm putting in my body.
You're right. I mean, that's completely right. And we just kind of hit the ground running here for sure. And I feel bad if I didn't do the right kind of introductions, but you're right. Like, I mean, as opposed to, there's so many issues you can have with your body, with even mentally, as far as, I mean, everything that you can be addressed with food, but yet we'd still rather take a pill for it.
Because that's what we've been taught. I don't blame anyone for that. That's what I thought too. I thought that for, you know, 35, 36, however many years, that, you know, oh, you take medicine and it fixes it. No, it just covers it. Think about a Tylenol. It doesn't take your headache away. It
covers
it
up. Yeah, it just covers it up. That's what
right? But I don't know that a lot of people even know that or understand that. Like, water. We need water to lubricate our colon. We need water to deliver stuff. And people think like it's not that important, but it really is that important. I know I try to drink at least 100 ounces a day. I just have 4 25-ounce things, just boom, 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 boom. If I don't do that, I can feel it in my body. Once you kind of switch over, your body starts feeling it much better, you know. And like, maybe it doesn't, people don't think it affects them as much as it does, but it like, you might think that's insane. If I eat properly and organic, that, you know, I'm going to mentally feel better. Well, when you realize the serotonin, majority of it is made in your gut, it's like, oh, or you realize how a cell works. There's this woman online. Totally. She's from Australia, Barbara O'Neill. And I started watching all her YouTube videos because she's phenomenal at, you know, how I talk about the atmosphere is like a hamburger. And like, for me, it's all about explaining the weather in layman terms, because, you know, it's a tough science to fully understand. And so she does the same thing with the body and talked about alkaline, you know, and acidic bodies. And you always hear farmers talk about the soil being acid or alkaline. So she explained how a cell, you know, if it's too acid, it like the whole function goes way too fast and you're not absorbing the proper nutrients. And if it's alkaline, it's too slow. And, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, that's why it's important to have, you know, a good water pH and, you know, make sure that you're getting the right greens and all that sort of stuff, because otherwise your body's not working properly. And then guess what? You get sick. Like, it's really not hard to figure out.
Totally. And you just got to put the right stuff in your body. And we don't, as a whole, we don't do that. You know, and not to get, like you said, get on a soapbox and preach, but I mean, we can, because we have microphones right now and we're experts because we have microphones no matter what happens.
Listen, I'm a total expert on this. No, I'm not. I do feel that, you know, because I struggled, and one day I'll come out with my whole story because, yeah. again, you know, we're out in the public and you put on a happy face just like everyone does. And I try to put motivational stuff sometimes on my Facebook and Instagram where it's like, it doesn't matter what someone's, you know, social media feed looks like. We all struggle. We all struggle really, really hard, no matter how big the smile is, no matter how big the house is. You know, it's like, for instance, we're told, right, or it's not said verbally, but we're shown in life. If you get a partner, you get married, you have kids, you have a house, and you have a job, you're right. going to be happy.
Right.
Well, if that was truly the case, then this world would be a really different place because that's not happening.
It would It'd be boring.
It'd be a boring place, but that's not what it is. And so I think, unfortunately, we continue this cycle of like, oh, it's okay to eat crap food. If you just find someone, get married, and have kids, you're going to be at peace.
Yeah.
And that's not where you find it. You find it within yourself. And, you know, I've just become more compassionate towards people. And, you know, just the other day, I was really frustrated at a situation. And I thought to myself, why are you choosing to stay frustrated at this? Use this as an opportunity to talk about perspective. Oh, yeah, they were coming at it from a loving place. Let me remind myself that and, you know, and rejig my perspective.
You know, and you're right, because you are very forgiving, because you forgave me and my screw up.
So, oh, which
well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a whole thing for you. I'm going to do a takeover dinner someplace or a pop-up dinner. It's going to be all for you, all vegetarian, completely vegan, and you'll be there, and I'll make up for it that way. So.
Well, I only really want to taste those Brussels sprouts you were telling me about.
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
The Brussels sprouts that taste like wings or something like
Brussels
that.
Wing Brussels sprouts. You just bread them up and deep fry them. And
yeah.
then you can even throw them in sauce. It's so good. Top them with blue cheese. Are you kidding me? It's like buffalo Brussels sprouts. It's great for football, man. I love it. Those things are fantastic. So just to talk about, you know, that sort of stuff, and kind of a segue into that, you're a big football fan. Like you are sports. Like you love sports. You love football. That's your thing. Where did that all come from?
So I was raised primarily by my father. So that's where it came from, is that I was raised on Maize and Blue. He went to Michigan undergrad and Miami Medical School. And then, you know, I was raised in South Florida, but he's from Chicago and he loved the Cubs. Like the Cubs were everything. So I was raised on, you know, the Bears and the Cubs and then on the Dolphins. And so, you know, when you're raised by your dad, and I think that's where I'm very different. Like, I don't like to shop. I don't get my nails done. You know, I'm very tomboy, which is so funny because people see me on TV in these dresses and makeup, and that couldn't be farther from, you know, I don't want to say farther from who I am, but that's not how you're going to see me walking around. You know, I mean,
totally.
I'm like on a Saturday watching game day all the way until the West Coast games. That's like ideal for me, you know?
That's awesome.
That's how I roll. But yeah, I was raised primarily by my father. And so it was all about sports.
So are you still a Dolphins fan?
Listen, I'm trying. I mean, it's like, first of all, look at all the teams I just named, for God's sake.
That's true. I'm a diehard Pittsburgh fan.
I went to the University of Florida, so at least I have my Gators that are, I don't know where they came from this year. I was not expecting this at all. So I'm just trying to enjoy it as it is.
No doubt. So listen, it's kind of an interesting thing because you look at, you know, food and sports go so hand in hand, I think, especially on game days and things like that, or even in stadiums. Do you think we'll ever see a change? Do you ever think we'll ever kind of see things, you know, maybe not go from the process?
Oh, it's there. I mean, it's totally there because it's funny. I went to a Jets game this year with one of my very good girlfriends.
Very sorry.
I see you shaking your head. It was actually a beautiful day, and I'm pretty sure they won that day. But anyhow, we went there, and she was like, oh, shoot, what are you going to eat? Right. And I was like, there's always a salad. There's, you know, there. And I ended up getting there, I got a gyro hero. I still don't really know the proper way to say it.
With you, a gyro is fine for me.
Okay, so
gyro.
Exactly, but they make it vegetarian. Now, let me tell you, I ate that bread and I felt it for sure. You know, and I see, and this is where I'm not perfect. Like in theory, I should have just gotten the vegetables on a salad and eaten that, right? And I would have been fine and all would have been good in the world. But that bread is so freaking good. And I'm eating it and I'm like, I know this is going to hurt. I know this is going to hurt. And sure enough, it did, you know? And even when I make, like, you know, we were talking about, I food prep a lot of times. I didn't this week. This week was insane. So I did a lot of protein shakes, carrying them with me just because it was easier. I had really long days. And so a lot of times on a Monday, I'll do a food prep where I just heat up a bunch of veggie burgers. I make a ton of vegetables and I put it all in a bag. I have it all labeled out. I grab the bag and I can go for the whole day. And that's really the way to do it because today I hadn't food prepped and I was starving. But it's funny, and you mentioned football, because you know that you're starting to eat healthier when you're craving. Today I was craving peppers and mushrooms and salsa.
Crazy.
And I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, who are you? Usually when you're starving and tired, you know, you want to put crap in your face. It just makes you feel better. And so I had to go to the health food store and make sure and get, and I just took peppers and sliced them up and dipped them in salsa. And I was like, happy as could be.
Delicious.
Right. And that's what you can have at a tailgate. You can find that at, listen, there's salsa and vegetables at any stadium. There's salad at any stadium. Or you bring a protein shake powder and you can buy water, you pour it in there and you're fine. And by the way, none of us are going to starve if we go without eating for a few hours. None of us.
That's true. That's very, very true. But you know, for what you do, you were talking about your food prep you do because you're so specific about what you eat and how you eat. So for the week, you start up on a Monday morning, and God knows what time you get up in the day, because I know you get up really early for work to begin with. If you're going to food prep in the morning, that's got to be absurd. That was a joke. I know you don't do that. But you're prepping food, so you make like a portioned out meal for each one of your meals. Is that what you do?
Right. So for a while there, what I was doing is I was doing like two veggie burgers and a cup of vegetables. And that would be a meal. And then I would make sure I had two snacks and I'd have three meals a day. And that's what I would do. And I have to eat on set, like during commercial break, I'm shoving. It's not ideal, you know, but you have to do the best that you can with any situation that you're in. Because, by the way, no situation in life is ideal. And again, we all have this in our heads that, oh, if you get to this point, if you do that, then it's going to be ideal. And that is just not the case.
Totally.
So you have to work with what you can and what you have. And again, choose your perspective. You have a choice. Like, that is the only soapbox thing I will say, is that people will say, well, you don't have a choice. And I'm like, yeah, you do. You have those two voices in your head. And you have that one, like, nasty, negative self-talk. Eckhart Tolle calls it the ego. It's not that I'm better than you ego. It's just like that negative self-talk. That's the name he gives it.
Right.
And you have that guy talking to you like, go eat the chips, go eat the chips. That stuff never satisfies you long term. It's just that instant gratification. And then the ego wins. And so I like to play a game in my head where I'll say, like, you know, oh, hell no, you're not going to win this battle right here. Like, I'm going to kick your butt on this battle. I'm going to go chug some water, or I'm going to drive my butt and get some peppers. So for me, it's like, I like being challenged. And so I like to win.
Right.
And so I try to play that game in my head where I'm like, oh, hell no, you're not going to win this battle. Like, step off. We're going to make the right decision.
And then you're have this conversation with yourself and everyone around you. Like, what is she talking about?
Look, right. But we all have that voice. Do we not?
Oh, absolutely.
We all have that.
You brought up a really good point there. I think a lot of people probably don't think about this, but sometimes I say 75% of the time, when you feel like you're hungry, you're thirsty. If you drink water if you're really hungry, you drink water, you'll find that you're not going to be nearly as hungry. That's kind of what I started doing, and I've actually lost some weight doing it. Like, as opposed to grabbing something to eat, I'll just have a big glass of water or something, and it works.
And I'll take it a step further than that, because, you know, not to be a jerk to you, but, like, that's what everyone says. And I think it's kind of BS, because I really think, yes, you're not hungry, but that's really your ego. That's your negative self-talk saying, like, go get that. I want that. You know what I mean?
So
it's like, I think if we rephrase that and you look at it as your negative self-talk and you say, I'm going to win this battle. I'm not hungry. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to keep myself busy. Look at it in a different way, because so many people say that, oh, just drink water. And it's like, no, we're battling our thoughts. It's just not as easy for me, at least, to say, like, yeah, I'm just going to drink water and it'll be okay. It is overcoming that negative self-talk in your head that's driving you to try to eat.
You know, it's never a good conversation whenever women look at me and tell me that I have a big ego about something. So we're hanging out right now talking to the one and only fantastic Stephanie Abrams, who is putting up with my ridiculous bad jokes and is doing this for the second time with me. You can follow her on Instagram and Twitter at Stephanie Abrams. They're both the same, right?
Yeah, everything is Stephanie Abrams. Facebook, Snapchat is Stephanie TWC, but Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, they're all Stephanie Abrams.
Can we talk about some of your Instagram pictures where you like to dance? Every time I see you do an Instagram post, you're dancing. You're doing.
Where I'm doing what?
You're dancing. I'm going to pull it up right now.
Oh, gosh.
It's very, very funny. Also, when you caught the football, that was impressive.
Okay, when I caught the football, that I was actually shocked by that. I was actually kind of scared by that, because Paul Goodloe is in studio doing the NFL forecast.
Right.
And what we do on the show is we show their stats, like, in the type of weather that they're playing in for both teams, and then we predict on who's going to win.
Right.
And so, you know, me, leave it to Abrams to be like, Goodloe, throw it over here. Can you make it? Clear across the stadium, those monitors are not, I mean, those cameras, those are like what? Like, $30-$50 grand. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how expensive they are. They're outrageous.
$30,000. Yeah, it's crazy.
Easily. I'm like, here, oh, throw it with all the lights and the monitors and the, and I caught it in heels, no less. And it was not a very good throw by Goodloe, but that's okay. And so that was super duper fun.
Your Instagram is a great follow. You post some hysterical pictures of you guys. I know you can't see it, but chest bumping, like it's just hysterical. Like it seems like you work with a really cool group of people there. Does everybody there kind of have a, like, do they, when they see how you eat, do they kind of listen to it, or do they think it's, you know, Steph's just rambling on about food? Like, well, how do they feel about it?
It depends on who you run into. It kind of goes both ways, where some people are like, oh, she's not eating again, you know, because I juiced for a month. Everyone thought that was insane, but I've never felt better. I've never slept better. I've never seen clearer. I've never felt better when I juiced for a month. And they'll be like, well, some people say you're crazy, but they get it. And I'm pretty open about my life there. And so, you know, once you start to tell someone like, hey, have you ever thought about, like, you're putting chemicals in your body and how that affects it. And if I sit down and kind of start talking to someone, they're like, oh, wow,
right.
I never really thought about that, you know? And so I think it depends on who's open to it and who needs it and who's ready for it. And, you know, I have friends that struggle. I'm like, listen, you've got to do something dramatic. Just like drinking once a week, it's not going to do it. You have got to do something dramatic or it's not going to help.
Right. And you're right. And I think the dramatic part is kind of the key thing with it. It's almost like shocking your body into it, you know, kind of letting your body know that, hey, we're making some changes here. So you do a lot of traveling for your work. So when you're traveling, how do you eat? You said you can always find a salad, of course, but, you know, do you try to pack stuff with you or how does that work? Or, you know, especially with what you do.
Yeah, I definitely...
Emergency.
Mm-hmm. I've tried packing food and bring it with me. It all depends on the trip and how quick the turnaround is. There's always protein shakes. And by the way, there's now enough like grocery stores that seem to carry organic stuff. And again, we don't need as much food as we think we need. Like I can go grab 5 avocados and that can last me for a couple days. Like we just don't need as much as we think we need. And carrots, you can grab a bag of organic carrots. And again, like, yes, are you going to start feeling uncomfortable? But then I have to tell myself, tell that negative self-talk, you're a little uncomfortable, but you're not starving. Get a grip. Like, you're okay, you know?
Wow.
And so, again, it's just overriding that negative self-talk that's telling you, like, no, you need this right now. And it's like, no, I don't. Chill out.
And the discipline you have with it is amazing. And I think that's kind of the key word there when it comes to it is the discipline. Like, people in general, we all could probably use a little bit more of that, I think. And sounds like something that obviously everyone's going to struggle with no matter what. You'll never have it perfectly, but you've got a pretty good handle on it, which is very impressive.
Well, I think everything's relative. I mean, listen, you know, I can sit down and house like, you know, an entire bunch of bananas. Just because they're organic bananas, the intention behind that is still not good.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm still emotionally eating if I'm eating an entire bunch of bananas and then, you know, half a jar of almond butter. Yeah, that's all healthy and organic and everything, but it's the intention behind it, right?
Right.
So like today when I was really hungry because I had just, I had timed stuff out wrong and I was like, well, I can wait another half hour to do my protein shake and I shouldn't have done that. And I was really starving. And what I should have done is come home and like meditate. And I said to myself, Steph, you need to calm down and chill out before you approach any food because you're not in the right mind.
Right.
But, you know, you have that talk that's like, oh, forget it. Like, go for it. You know, it doesn't matter. And so in those instances, now I know that processed food makes me feel so bad that I've kind of learned that even when I do a binge, like even this afternoon, I had a protein shake and then I think I had 2 bananas. I had a little bit of almond butter, had a pack of raisins. I had a veggie burger and then I had mushrooms and a pepper with salsa. Like all that in one sitting, that's too much. I don't even need that. But I was tired and I was crabby and I was kind of hungry, but I really wasn't that hungry. That's a lot of food for one sitting, which, you know, to an average person, they're like, well, that's no big deal. But it's like the intention behind it, when I knew I wasn't in the right mind to be eating food, I should have meditated and calmed myself down for a half hour and then approached it with having, you know, a veggie burger or a cup of vegetables and like one piece of fruit. And that would have been good and then walked away.
Totally. I mean, I see what you're saying. Like to me, like you're saying that's what you ate. And to me, I'm like, I don't even know if that would like, I'd still be really hungry afterwards. But, you know, I don't know. It's something I have to try to see if that works out. I just don't know if that would ever work.
Again, it's the intention and whatever you're struggling with, right? So like that is, for me, the intention was is like, well, I just want to eat and I'm tired, I'm crabby, and I want to like get away from this feeling.
Yeah.
Well, the only way to really get away from that feeling is to get your perspective straight and get present, because you don't suffer in the present. Like we only suffer when we're living in the past or we're thinking about the future, right?
Right.
I mean, I've been single for a really long time. I don't know why it's so hard to find, you know, someone to be with, but like, you know, that's a big struggle for a lot of people. And it's like, well, you're only struggling because you're worried about, you know, like being alone and this and that, but you're always okay right now. Like right now, you are always okay. If you're sick and you don't feel good, you're still okay. You're still breathing. You're okay. You're fine. You know, if you're in a bad situation, you're okay. Like if you get present, you do not suffer. And so, you know, that's something for me. It's like when I'm struggling, I need to just get present and realize I'm okay and focus on my breathing and then go back out and conquer and get my perspective straight.
Get present. I like that. That should be a bumper sticker. And by the way, not just have you been single for all the time, or you're going to get all these messages from these creepy cooks who are just going to like constantly message you and want to talk to you.
I'm okay with that.
I'll take that out.
I'm okay with that. I mean, it's so crazy because I mean, I thought, you know, I was raised by my dad. So it's like, you know, right. You won't depend on anyone, you know, emotionally, financially, you know, any of that stuff. And so it's so funny, like once you become independent and kind of like whatever, it's funny that like, you know, you go on a date with someone and it's like guys need to be needed apparently. Like, and not that I don't need somebody, but it's like kind of like, wait, like you're cool, like with yourself and your life and everything. It's like, yeah, you know? And so I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
I don't think you're doing anything wrong at all. Trust me, you're not doing anything wrong at all. I think other people are doing things wrong. So listen, how did you get across to doing, you know, I'm trying to get away from the subject for, because all I want to do is just, I have so many one-liners and they're just all inappropriate. So I'm not going to say it.
appropriate, but we'll spare the viewers. We'll do it later.
So how did you get involved with working with the Weather Channel? I know like you had obviously, you know, go to school and you did some local stuff, but how did all of a sudden that happen?
So I grew up in South Florida and went to space camp twice as a kid. I'm a geek.
I forgot about that. That's awesome. When it was space camp.
Yeah, there's a really funny picture like back Thursday I did from space camp. It's hot. Let me tell you, with the side pony and everything.
So nice.
It's a good look. Yeah. So I went to space camp. I always loved math and science, and my dad was into it as well. He had a telescope, and he'd show us, you know, stuff at night. And so I was always a math and science person. And so I went to the University of Florida. Go Gators. And I took every math and science that I could possibly think of, oceanography, geology, chemistry, and I came across the meteorology class. And I loved it because it combined math and physics and also explained like why the sky is blue, why it rained on one side of the road and not the other. And so they didn't have a meteorology program there, but they did at our rival school, which I will not say the name of. But I ended up getting my geography degree at Florida, a minor in math, and then got my second bachelor's in meteorology at a rival school that's in the state capital. And then from there, I was just being a TA for a summer, and one of my professors said, send your tape, because back then it was VHS, right? Sure. Now everything's on YouTube. He said, here's a list of all the alumni, send your tape. And so this is what I think a lot of people should do just for help. Hey, can you help critique me? Or hey, can you like give me some pointers?
Right.
And I sent it to agents. I sent it to everyone from the number one market in New York to LA. Hi, my name's Stephanie. Can you help me out?
Yeah.
And one of the alumni from that school I went to, that second school, happened to work at the Weather Channel, and she was very kind. And once a month I sent her a tape. She gave me pointers, and literally 9 months after I had been working at the local ABC affiliate in Tallahassee, I had started at the Weather Channel, which was 2003.
Yeah.
Longer story longer, 2004-2005 was this like crazy record-setting hurricane seasons, and I was the only female in the field. So I think that, you know, distinguished me a little bit. And then I've just been on the ride ever since. It's been 12 and a half years now.
I mean, but you're crushing it there. You really are. You're like, I mean, what you do.
You're partial, so that's not fair.
I actually don't like you at all. Can you tell? No, I'm just kidding. You're really good at it because you make it. It's so smooth. It's so easy to watch. You know, a lot of guys, times you watch people who do the weather and it's just so mundane, you know, and here you are doing, making it fun. It's making it understandable. You know, I enjoy watching. I think it's great.
Well, I appreciate that. But I think what that is passion and authenticity.
Yeah.
And when you're passionate about something, you're excited about it, you want to explain it, you want people to understand, right? And I always know that when I would watch TV or I'd watch Oprah, I'm like, why do people love Oprah? Because she's authentic. She's just herself. And I would say majority of us do not live authentically.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't. We're so worried about what people think. We're trying to act a certain way. You know, I go to this meditation class and it's like, well, how should I act when I call, or how should I? And it was like, you just act yourself.
Yeah,
you don't,
yeah.
You know, some people we act a little more timid around. Some people act a little jokey around. No, you should be yourself 24/7. You should never ask that question, how should I act or what should I do? You should do you.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
All the time. And so I think that the authenticity is the missing link or key. And I am legit myself, you know, as much as I can be on TV, because, you know, I do have a bad mouth. So I can't, and I'm not even cursing on here because I'm trying to be nice because I don't know if there's kids listening.
I've never.
But you know, I do have like you know a crazy sense. Yeah, a crazy sense of humor and a dirty mouth. So, like, those things, you know, I obviously tame a little bit. So I just think it's being as authentic. Why do people love Jim Cantore? Because he's Jim on air and off air. I'm the exact same person on air, off air, just thank God for a hair and makeup team that makes me look, you know, good. So I think that's where the it's huge. Like, again, no matter what you do in life, when you live authentically, it lifts so much weight from you, you know. And it's so freeing to just be you and accept yourself. You're going to screw up. We all screw up. Nobody's perfect.
Right.
Just do you. Be compassionate towards yourself. If you screw up, it's a lesson. It's not a failure. It's just a lesson. And so it's just remembering that.
Well, I mean, we were texting earlier today, and I was doing some stuff today, and I was telling you that hopefully the hair and makeup can make me look pretty, and you said the same thing. You're like, oh, I know, or whatever you said back to me. I was like, shut up, Stephanie. You're such a jackass. Don't say that. Come on. It's ridiculous.
Okay, I'll send you a picture when I wake up in the morning. And then I'll send you a picture after hair and makeup, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, I see what you're saying now. I mean, look, nobody's – listen, not everyone is just, like, naturally, you know, beautiful.
Right.
But that doesn't matter because this is just the skin we're given, right? I don't want to be friends with someone just because of what they look like because that fades, right? If again, I go back to if getting married, having kids, having a house and a job brought you happiness,
right.
This world would be a different place. If being beautiful made you happy or made you more fun to be around, then the Hollywood marriage, like it would be a whole different place, right?
Totally.
That's not what it's about. And we need to change the discussion on how we're living and living as a community and being compassionate towards people and to ourselves.
Right.
And it's so frustrating to me. And I don't know what I can do to like kind of, I want to change the discussion we're having with ourselves and with each other.
Well, I think things are you're starting to see more of that because, you know, people are just getting smarter about things and people are still, I don't know. I think so. I think it's definitely taking a better turn. Maybe it's because the generation of my parents and stuff like they're, you know, it's just, they're so superficial in my own personal opinion. And I don't know. Now I'm grouping everybody. I don't want to do that, but hey, more importantly, let me ask you a very important weather question. All right. Two very important weather questions. Number one, why does a tornado sometimes hit the house next door but not the house beside it? That's insane. And also, who do I got to talk to? And maybe you can help me. I want to name the next hurricane. Can I do that?
Sure. You can put in your – so the World Meteorological Organization, WMO, does that. You have to send your list into them.
Okay.
But listen, a tornado is only going to be so wide, right? At some point, it has to stop.
Right.
And so it just so happens that it's maybe that's the case where it just stops so that that house doesn't get hit, or they actually can go up and down, like they'll go
like
back
bounce,
up and down.
Like it bounces?
And so it could, you know, hop over a few houses and then
what?
Redevelop and hit another one. So it doesn't necessarily doesn't get on the ground and stay all the time. Sometimes it'll pull up and go back down.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So what's the craziest weather scenario you've been in? Like, have you ever felt like, okay, we're in a little bit of danger here. We need to get out of here.
Yeah. So there's a couple, like obviously nothing can compare to Katrina. I legitimately thought I was on a movie set. I remember sitting there with Cantore at night and, you know, you see a casino that was supposed to be on the water and then it's on land. It's like, how is this possible? These mammoth floating casinos. And I remember sitting there and, you know, I'm like, honestly, Cantore, I feel like I'm in a movie set. I just can't even, you can't even wrap the pictures don't do it justice.
Right.
I don't mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
Like they just, it's hard to fathom. So that is just still mind blowing. I look at my pictures from that day and I'm like, it's still hard for me to fathom. And you go back and everything's rebuilt. You're like, this is the craziest thing ever. But the scariest one I've been in was, we were in the Midwest. I want to say I was in Illinois, Missouri. It was several years back now. And they had a tornado outbreak. And then they were supposed to have another outbreak in the same area. So basically the whole area was like, the whole area had been like, you know, wiped out essentially.
Totally.
Or really damaged. And where they're doing live shots, and I went into the satellite truck in between live shots and my producer was sitting there and I looked at the radar and all of a sudden I said, this isn't going to be good. Just like that. Within 30 seconds.
Oh no.
And you know, we went back on air and the sirens are going off and I'm like, y'all, I don't feel safe. I got to get off air. I got to get everyone to safety. And I'm with freelancers. So that's their life, all their equipment. I'm like, drop everything, get in the car. Let's go.
They're like, uh-uh. That's my camera.
Right. They're like, no, Abrams, like, this is my livelihood right here, you know? So I'm trying to help them to get everything in the car. I mean, I had like dirt, like head to toe. It was really kind of scary. And there were tornadoes that touched down. Thankfully, nothing huge.
Yeah.
But that was one instance where I was scared. I'm not a fan of tornadoes. because you don't know ever exactly where they're going to develop.
Right.
And obviously, like, once they're on the ground or you see the parent supercell, but that supercell can form, it all can happen so fast is the thing that I'm just not a fan of, like, tornado chasing. I'm cool, like, you know, being really far away or seeing it on TV. Like, I'm cool because that's you can't mess with that.
Yeah, some of the terminology that you guys use as meteorologists, which, I mean, trust me, I can never do it. I think it's amazing, but you kind of sound like you're a supervillain. Like, you're talking about the supercell. Like, what? It's insane. It's crazy. Like, you just make these words up. Like, that's not a real thing. Come on.
Oh, no, we totally just make it up. I mean, we literally just, you listen, you say it with confidence, and they believe you.
You have a microphone that makes you an expert. No one's going to question you. That's the idea.
Right, exactly. You know, watch out for that rear flank downdraft.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but it's a real thing, and what they think actually, you know, causes a tornado. So it is funny. There's a lot of good words that we have. Haboob is, you know, a lot of people's favorite.
Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? I mean, I can just imagine the snickering and the jokes that go on.
Yes,
so much
there's also a Tawana Pecker. I mean, there's a lot of innuendo when it comes to weather words, it seems like.
It seems like the same thing happens when you look at clouds long enough. It just starts, it all just kind of goes that direction.
Right. Or maybe that's just with us. Maybe that's the real problem. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's us. Come on, Stefan. That's the reality.
I'm at the beach with my wife hanging out. I just point to the sky and say, wow. Look at that chicken up there, Kel.
Right.
And to see if she even gets them talking. She's clueless. So maybe it is just you and me. I don't know. So this whole conversation is amazing because you're so inspiring to talk to. You make me want to be a better person just talking to you. And it's such a great thing for young cooks to hear stuff like this because they can hear how people all across the world are getting smarter and smarter about food. And these are the people who can help make things a little bit better. So usually I ask people for pieces of advice for young culinarians coming up. But I think this whole show has been a piece of advice. For young culinarians, but at what point, one of the other questions I like to ask is, at what point did food kind of become a real thing for you? Like, was there a moment that clicked? I'm not saying so much that, you know, it changed your life or, but it became something. Like, it wasn't just something you had to do. Food is a thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I really struggled for years and years and years with a lot of mental health. And would turn to food, and like you wouldn't believe the amount that I would eat. And I think it's hard for people to believe, but with my size and like I could carry it well, and you can try to disguise it, and then you know you can get into the whole rigmarole of like trying to take laxatives. I mean, like I have quite the struggle story to share. And when I learned through an experience I went through how, you know, juicing and how like why you need to do a cold press juicing, because the heat, and that's, you know, why do a lot of people eat raw? Well, it's because when you heat food up to past a certain degree, you're ruining the vitamins and minerals. And again, if you think about how a cell works, it needs vitamin A, it needs vitamin C, it needs whatever vitamin it needs. They all need different vitamins. And so once you learn that, you're like, oh. And then once I learned like, oh, wait, the stuff that makes me happy isn't in my brain per se, it's from my stomach. You're like, oh. And then once you start experimenting with it and you feel better, like when I juiced for a month and I had like such clarity, literally I could literally see better. I was sleeping better. I was happier. And then you start eating crap after that and you feel awful mentally and physically. You're like, oh, okay. Like it's not worth, at some point it gets to the point where it's not worth that miserable feeling. And you stick to like today when I was like, I need, you know, peppers and mushrooms. Like, are you kidding me? Before I would go to crap. But again, that only is for a second. Doesn't make you feel better. You don't have lasting joy from food, from a partner, from your job. You only have lasting joy when you look inside. 100%. You cannot argue that. There's nothing that can give you pure lasting joy except for from the inside.
Wow. Just, you know, I was trying to wrap it up, but I had another question for you as you were talking about the stuff. Is it still fun? Is food still fun to you? Is food still like, is it still a fun thing to do to eat?
Absolutely. And I think that's the scary thing is people think like, oh, you know, first of all, there's so many different things out there that you don't even know exist because you're stuck in this process train. But there are really cool, awesome foods there. And like you said, you're going to make me, you know, Brussels sprouts that taste like wings.
Yeah.
And it almost makes it even more fun because it forces you to get creative And then you actually look it up like, oh, why are beets good for you? And you can mix beets in with like cake batter. I mean, there's all these different things that you can do. And, you know, again, whatever works for you. But even every little bit, I think, helps.
Completely. And I'm glad it's still fun for you. I know it's such an inspiring thing to hear you talk about food. I could talk to you all day long. It's been so much fun.
Well, we might be next week, depending on the connection here. My connection isn't so good on my end. So I don't know. We might have to do FaceTime next time or just over the phone. So I might be discussing it again next week with you.
Well, I got a whole gimmick going. I'm just going to try to talk to you once a week. It's my thing. I don't even have radio. I just make this shit up and we just talk to you.
Right, exactly. Like you told me, you have this whole radio show. That flyer you sent me to talk about what it is was like you literally just made it up.
It's all fake. None of it's real.
I wouldn't put it past you.
You can catch my friend Stephanie every morning, right?
Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 on the Weather Channel.
You don't have to do that. I'll put you over. You don't have to say
Shameless plug.
On the Weather Channel, she's killed it over there. It's your show. I mean, you and Jim are killing it. It's great. I love it. It's such a fun thing to watch. And what you're doing is thankless work. That's for sure. And please, please don't get swept away by a hurricane. And I'm going to name one.
Okay. I like it. What are you going to name it? Be careful though, because the head of the National Hurricane Center, he put in his daughter's name, which was Camille. And it turned out to be one of only 3 known Category 5s to make landfall. So be careful what you wish for there.
Yeah. I still laugh at the meme I saw where it was Hurricane Joaquin.
Yeah.
The Joaquin Phoenix head, and as the hurricane got bigger, it got a bigger beard. I don't know. I thought that was so freaking funny. Listen, you're so much fun to talk to. I appreciate you doing this again with me and coming on, and we'll catch you on down the road.
Anytime.
You're awesome. Thanks, Steph.
Thanks.
You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world. You can beat the war. You can talk the guy go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up. You can beat the clock. Yeah. You can move a mountain. You can break rocks. You can be a master. Don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you can find yourself. Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Coming back here live right here at the bar in the basement. Drinking me a nice cold one. I'm having me a Breckenridge Christmas Ale as I'm sitting right here. What a great conversation with Stephanie. I think she's the best. What she does with food and how she does stuff is just, I don't know, man. It just seems thankless. I don't know how you can pull all that off with that. I mean, listen, I made fun of her a little bit for being vegetarian when we were on the phone together because in my world, I'm not sure if in your world, in your kitchen, but as far as vegetarians go, we call them annoying. Maybe that's a little bit much. I don't know. Big thanks to Stephanie Abrams for coming on the show and talking a little bit. Got a number of phone calls here on hold. I got about, 5 or 6 more minutes here. Why don't we jump on here and see who we got? Let me see who we got here. I'm going this one blind. Here we go. What's going on, man? It's Plum Love Foods Live. You're on. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello? What's up? This is George.
Of course it is. My man, George. How are you, brother?
I'm pretty good. I'm kind of bummed out a little bit right now. I missed most of the show.
Oh, that's all right, man. You can catch us on iTunes, anywhere else you find all the podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great show.
I'm definitely going to have to catch this one.
Yeah, it's a good one. Stephanie is a great interview, man, for what she does, and we're lucky to have gotten her on tonight. So what's going on with you, man? How you been?
Pretty good, man. Just got off work. Rough night.
There you go. Look, it's a good thing to have a rough night on a Monday night, so I hope that you guys are still making money. What's your Thanksgiving plans, man, brother? What are you making? You making something?
I don't know yet, actually. Like, I was going to go buy some, I was going to do some fish today.
For Thanksgiving?
We got a bunch of family coming over, so, like, my uncle, his family, they're going to do the turkey. My mom wants to do some sides. And then we got someone else coming over that wants to do the ham. So, it's like, all right, well, I mean, I live by where all the seafood is. You know, I live right here on the coast. I'm traveling to them. I might as well bring some fresh fish, gut it, fillet it, cook it up for them.
So what are you going to do with the fish? You're going to fillet it? You're going to cook it up? Come on, you're going to do more than that, man. I see you on Instagram doing all kinds of shit. What's your plan?
Honestly, the plan, I'm not going to really, I don't really have a plan until I actually get it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I want to see what they have for me first. But I'm definitely going to do some, I'm going to do some fun stuff, man. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I cook for everybody in the world every day. So when it comes to Thanksgiving for the family, I'm definitely going to, try my best to make sure everybody's full and happy.
Well, there you have it, man. Hey, man, big happy Thanksgiving to you, and thank you for all the support, man. I really appreciate it, man, and we'll talk to you later on, all right?
All right, brother.
My dude, I'll talk to you soon. Putting you back on hold.
Thank you.
There he is, George. He's always checking us out. A big, big supporter of the show. That man's awesome. He's always checking us out and listening to us and calling in and saying what's up. Going to another call right now. I think I might recognize this number. What's up, my man? What's your name and where you calling from, brother?
Hello?
Yeah, man, that's you.
Hey, what's up, man? How you been?
There he is right there, Mr. Determination's Food on Instagram. Brother, what's going on, man? How you been?
Chilling, just staying motivated, keeping going, man.
So
what's,
how you been? I am living the dream, sir, hustling every single day of my life. You know the story, man. You know what's up. It's all good, trying to make things happen. So and it seems to be happening, so that's a good thing. So, man, what's going on with you, man? What's a good piece of advice you got for everybody right now? Tell me something.
Well, I did want to tell you that this one, I hope I don't offend anybody. This one is all motivation and being true to yourself. I wrote a little something for you. This is a big supporter of mine. I'm a big supporter of them, and I love every single member of them to death. Whether you're a part of True Cooks, Lost Car Chef, Cutthroat Food Network, or just another chef on the street trying to make a name for yourself, it's always been a tough industry. It's a cutthroat industry. But, hey, with time, people in this industry, this wonderful industry, have evolved. It has gone from a survival tactic, a trend, to whatever. To me, it will always be a life, a lifestyle. This is who I am. This is how I express myself. This is how we express ourselves as human beings. We're the most emotional. Hell, we put everything on the plate. But
damn,
it's what we do, man. It's what we do.
Now, how in the hell am I supposed to... Oh, shit. Go ahead. Sorry. You're not done.
But somehow along the way, I get with the hype. We got all lost along the way. It's all fine and good to let it become a business, but don't let it take over who you are. Because once you let it take over and it becomes straight about, you know, just money, money this, money, money that, you lose your creativity. You sell your soul. You lose yourself. And you forget why you got into this industry. Me, I got into this industry because I had a dream, and I'm still making my way towards that dream. I want to open a restaurant. Hell, I want to do just like my man Kevin Levine. I want to give back as much as I can. I want to teach. I want to teach the younger and older generation, you know, take their knowledge of food, culinary, anything that has to do with cooking, even life itself, and expand it to a whole nother level. That's my way of giving back, because I want people to go further than where I did.
Wow. I mean, now how am I supposed to follow that, bro? What do you want me to, how can I can't follow that. What do you want me to say? Like, I can't even finish that. I don't know. Like, you just ended my show. How about that? You just ended the show. I got a message from somebody right now that says he sounds so sincere. I mean, that's awesome. There you have it. I mean, I think from now on Monday nights, I'm just going to give you the show and you can have it.
I can't take that from you. Hey, but seriously, all these cats in True Cooks, Lost Car, Cutthroat, Food Network, wherever you are, like, I've met with the founders, like, I've talked with them, I've talked with a bunch of shows, even my man Brian Tricar out there, and you know my homegirl, Sarah, Sweet Case by Sarah. Like, we have a lot of passionate cooks and chefs out here, home cooks, everything. And seriously, there are some good-hearted people out here, and this is an industry, just like life itself, we weren't meant to do anything alone. Like,
oh,
if you see somebody struggling, definitely help them, you know?
That's, well, you've sent me some...
When we all come together, homie.
You've sent me some rather nice messages, and I apologize that I've been off the grid a little bit, a lot going on, and we're going to get back to doing that more, and I appreciate it. And seriously, we are taking a turn in this business. From things like what you're mentioning, the True Cooks and all that stuff, it is taking a turn in this business to become a supportive, positive place as opposed to a negative thing, which in my history and growing up in the past 20 years, it had become a little bit. just because of the nature of the beast. But we're taking that turn to being positive thanks to chefs like you, man. I appreciate you and what you do. So thank you very much for taking the time, man. And, of course, as always, my man, thank you for checking out the show tonight.
No problem at all. Much love, much respect.
There he is. Dude, you're the man. I will talk to you down the road. I appreciate your support. And, again, if you haven't done it yet, go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. It helps all the nonsense. It's fantastic. We're getting a lot of great reviews. Jump on there if you haven't done it yet because it makes all the difference in the world for 1.5 minutes of your time.
Problem, man. I will.
My man, there he goes. Mr. Determination's Food on Instagram. What a sweet guy. What an amazing dude. Think the world of that guy right there. Wow. I don't even know what to say now. This show has just gone a completely different direction. We were talking silliness with Stephanie Abrams from the Weather Channel. Make sure you follow her at Stephanie Abrams on all social media. And then, of course, George checks in, and then Mr. Determination's Food. I got a bunch of calls here right now. I can't take any more calls at the moment right now. We need to end the show. It's 10 minutes after 11. It's going way, way too late. And, you know, to some of the people out there who may be looking at something and asking questions, I can guarantee, my friend, that the people are not always as they appear when you're hearing them talk. They can be different. They can be the same. But the last thing we want to do is pass judgment. That's for sure. Guys, let's get into a couple plugs and get this show on down the road. That was some cryptic shit I just said, by the way, right there. It was all cryptic nonsense. So whatever, you can read into it. You can go onto it. You can go to Facebook. You can go to social media and ask questions. You might get the answer. Let's get into some plugs. Here we go.
I need a little space in my mind. I need that little hope I can't find. I need a little space. Is that too much to ask for?
I just can't get enough of that song. I don't know why. I'm an old metalhead. I used to have hair down to my ass and wear eye makeup. I painted my fingernails. I played guitar and bass guitar in a really heavy metal band. And now I'm enjoying Calvin Harris dance music. I don't know. Maybe it's a change. I think it's all about change. That's what the world's about. That's what the industry's about. It's about change. And you can hear from my man, Mr. Determination's Food, checking in right there, breaking his knowledge down. When I was his age, no one would talk like that to you. You were talked down to, but that's the way the world is changing. That's the way the industry is changing. And it's an amazing thing, and I'm happy to be a part of it, if even just for one little segment of it. You guys have been checking out Plum Love Foods Live, the number one food talk show on Blog Talk Radio. We are also on Stitcher. We are also on TuneIn FM. We are on pretty much anywhere else you can find a podcast / digital radio broadcast. That's what we're on right now. No doubt. I appreciate all the support. I want a big shout out to my friend Stephanie Abrams from the Weather Channel. When she hears this, we're gonna have to have round two with her because she was talking to me via text about how men can be manicorns or unicorns. It's a long story, but I appreciate that. I hope to one day be a unicorn myself, and that's another inside joke. And I'm done with inside jokes. Inside jokes aren't fun on a national radio show. You can follow me on them Twitters at Chef_Plum. That's at Chef_Plum on them Twitters and on Instagram. There's a lot of really fun stuff coming up, guys. We are in an amazing, amazing point in time in this world, in this life, in this culinary world. And I'm so happy to be a part of it. I'm so truly humbled to be a part of it. And I cannot wait to share with you what's going on. And we will be able to share very, very soon. This has been an amazing show tonight. A lot of fun. I'm so glad you guys checked it out. And if you haven't done it yet, please, if you're on iTunes, if you're not on iTunes, go on iTunes, type in Chef Plum, rate, review, and subscribe. It makes all the difference in the world. It's a really big deal to have that done. We're finally rated. We have a great big 5-star rating, which is fantastic. We have reviews. We need more. So please, please, please keep that up. And listen, our sponsors, guys, I don't promote things unless I believe in them. Ergo Chef knives are my favorite knives in the world. I use them every single day of my life. If you need a new knife, check them out. ErgoChef.com. Use the promo code ChefPlum15 off and get a nice discount on your knife. In the meantime, and in between time, my name is Chef Plum, and you've been checking out Plum Love Foods Live. And remember, folks, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything in life that's important happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time that it deserves. And next week, you guys, giant announcement. Are you ready for this? I should have said it earlier. Here we go. We have the executive chef from Polyscience Culinary, David Pietrzak. I think I might have said the name wrong. Pietrzak from Polyscience coming on. Dude, the head dude from Polyscience. We're going to talk about smoke guns. We're going to talk about sous vide. I mean, seriously, these are household names because of this company, Polyscience, and he's going to be on this very show next week, next Monday night, live, not a recorded interview. We're really excited about it, man, and really lucky to have this dude coming on here to talk about stuff. So, guys, thank you very much for all your time this evening, and I'll catch you all down the road. Peace.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.